everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush, Crush to Judgment Edition.
CTJ.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Noel and I in our traditional morning slots.
Or as I like to call it, the morning slog.
That's right, the morning slog. And this is our second, are we calling these reviews or just discussions?
They're musings, you know, in conversational form.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So we both saw separately. I thought about seeing a movie together at some point. I don't know if we'd have... We got to save all the talk, though, you know?
That's true.
And the thought of you and I just walking silently from a movie theater after Infinity.
We could talk Wars. About... No, that's what you did after that movie, though, dude. That movie broke me.
Talk about a gut punch. All right, so this is the point where we say, massive spoilers. We're going to talk about the whole... of the film, mm-hmm. including the ending. So if you have not seen it, do not listen to this yet.
No. Stop it right now.
Yeah, seriously. Because
mm-hmm.
this is a movie that ends with a big surprises, I guess you could say.
Yeah, not what you'd expect from this type of picture.
All right, so just setting up real quick, Avengers: Charlie Chapman.
Oh, boy.
Which, by the way, I was totally wrong.
That's good, though.
Man. It was one of those things where I was like, there's no way I said Chapman.
It was fun, though. I like that there's it's creating a conversation on the internet. I like that.
Avengers: Infinity War, obviously the Marvel comic MCU film now it's Walt Disney, of course, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo, written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely. And starring all of Hollywood.
Yep.
Basically.
Should we do a review on the first 18 movies in the series real quick, though, before we get...
Just buzz through those.
Just, no.
All right, Iron Man 1.
Okay.
Tony Stark is born.
Yeah.
All right, so the movie opens up with... the movie opens up with a death, and that kind of set the tone that death would be a major player in this film.
Yeah, the first scene's pretty heavy.
Killed Loki.
Yep, Loki gets it. After an act of heroism, a sacrificial act.
Sure.
Which is cool.
Not Loki-esque.
He's been kind of a prick in this series.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah, and you know, of course, we've seen Loki, and I think they even made a joke in the movie about Loki has died before.
Right.
Didn't they say that?
Yes. And I feel like I maybe... There's one movie in the series I didn't see, which was the Thor Dark World movie.
Okay.
So maybe that happened in that movie. That's the one that I feel like I missed.
It's hard for me to keep straight.
Yeah, there's
a lot. I'm certainly not I've seen all of them, but I'm certainly not... I can't, you know, say, well, this movie had this one had that.
It's been 10 years, Chuck.
Since
this whole
really
crazy experiment began.
Yeah.
Iron Man 1.
Yeah, this movie very much had the feel of, and I don't know, I'm sure at some point they did this, but it had the feel that they kind of had a grand plan from the very beginning that all led up to this, what will be a two-part film.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that blows me away, the precision of planning, that all the movies have to fit into this kind of big picture grand scheme.
Yeah.
And to coordinate all of that is a mind-boggling thing to me.
Yeah, and Scotty, my buddy and I, Scotty, and for those of you listening, Scotty is my DP friend who sat in on the post-Oscars spectacular, or was it the pre? I think the post. Yeah, the post. And we were talking after he saw it about just how great the MCU is, and even some are a little better than others, even the worst Marvel movie is pretty good still.
Yeah.
To me.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What's
the worst to you?
I don't know, man. I mean, that first Thor movie wasn't great.
You're right. That's true. That one was a little meh.
But I mean, there's still good movies. It's not like I walked out of that movie saying I didn't really enjoy that.
No, it was still fun. It's like you said. I mean, there aren't bad ones. There are just less good ones.
Yeah, Doctor Strange I would put on the lower half, but it's still a pretty good movie.
I liked that one a lot. It was very psychedelic. I liked all the crazy, time-shifty, you know, copying himself kind of imagery. He's a cool character.
He is, and he shines in this. But what we were talking about was really how genius it was to give to really take their time and give all of these, almost all the characters, their own film. Mm-hmm. Certainly you didn't get a Scarlet Witch movie or a Hawkeye movie. But most of the major players got their own film, so you really invest in these characters. Whereas, talk about fucking it up. Mm. DC is such a mess. Mm. And they're behind, so I feel like they're like, oh, we need to make a, not Super Friends, but a Justice League movie. Mm-hmm. But no one knows these other characters. So in Batman versus Superman, let me just have Wonder Woman just pop in a little jump drive of clips of Aquaman and Flash and who is it, Cyborg?
I didn't. I don't care one lick about those movies.
Did you see them?
I know. I thought Wonder Woman was awesome.
Yeah, Wonder Woman
was a lot of fun.
The only one that stands out.
Well done, well acted, well written. But the rest of them are just a snooze, and they're just a bummer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something icky about them. I don't like them.
No, I agree, man. Just from the gray, dark tones to the dark overtones, it's really just, it's a big bummer. And in Superman versus Batman, they literally are like, well, we got to have a Justice League movie. So Wonder Woman pops in a jump drive, and they're literally just little short clips of Flash doing his thing, Aquaman, I don't know, like peeking through a peephole underwater and then swimming away. And then Cyborg, and it's like, all right, well, those are the characters.
That's all you get.
And you don't end up caring about them as a result.
Right.
All right, so that is to say, just as the opposite end of the spectrum, whereas Marvel has really done it right.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. They've done it right, and over time, most of these characters got several movies.
Yeah,
absolutely. And within those movies, you get to meet some of the minor characters
right.
and still get invested in them.
Yeah,
so man. It's just genius.
You really care about these people. All right, so at the beginning, Loki dies, which, that whole scene, I mean, they get right to it right away.
Yeah, and that's when he gives them the Tesseract, which I think was, is it the second stone? The whole deal is with, you know, Thanos, the Mad Titan,
the
or whatever.
The Space Stone is in the Tesseract.
Okay.
So that's how that worked out.
Yes, yeah, but he doesn't have any stones yet at this point, right? This is like the first stone he's trying to get.
I believe so.
Maybe he only has one. Doesn't matter. The point is he's trying to collect all these, what are they called?
No, Infinity. He does. He has the Power Stone.
That's right. You got that one in the previous
movie. Yeah, and of course I'm reading this right now just because I don't want to get it wrong. But then he gets a Space Stone, and the whole plot of the movie is that Thanos has this glove, and he wants to acquire all these stones to fill the glove and then have basically ultimate power.
Yeah, there's the Time Stone, which allows him to manipulate time and space.
Uh-huh.
The Reality Stone, I think, which literally allows him to manipulate perception and actual reality and make people see things differently to what they really are.
Right.
So he is basically, he's a god.
Uh-huh.
He is utterly a god.
Yeah, which is ironic because Thor is a god.
Right.
And you know what was funny to me, just as a side note, is there are so many big characters in this, just physically large, like
yes.
Thanos, that Thor, for the first time, seems small.
Oh, yeah.
I would notice. I was like, man, did he lose weight? Like, what's going on? Because Thor is usually just looks large.
Well, they streamlined his costume.
Sure.
I feel like he didn't have the shoulder pad action that he usually does. They made him look a little more tight.
They debeefed him.
They did. They did. Oh, man. And that scene, though, with him and Star-Lord, where, like, the Guardians discover him floating in space.
So
and
great.
Then Star-Lord feels intimidated by his masculinity because everyone's like...
And starts doing the voice.
He does the voice. And then they accuse him of doing the voice.
God, it's so good.
This movie is such a huge, epic thing. We obviously can't touch on every single aspect of it, but there's so many fun moments. And then it kind of just takes a turn where everything is just like, oh, oh, oh.
Well, yeah. I mean, as they're acquiring these stones, a lot plays out. Like, we get a genuine – well, first of all, from what you said, the fun of this movie, and this is what they had planned all along, is – everyone is set up with their different teams, and now we're going to throw them in a bag and mix them all up and see what happens. So then you've got Thor after the, you know, Star-Lord Thor gets stationed with the rabbit, which is hysterical.
Yes.
I never didn't laugh at him saying rabbit.
Yes. Yeah, the rocket raccoon I love the Guardians. That's probably my favorite team in the series.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, there's no way everyone's going to get their due. It's
by
too many characters.
Up.
No, I just mean like given screen
period.
Time.
Sure.
Just going to get, but they managed to do it. Rocket Raccoon got his due. And I was really worried that he wasn't because I love that character.
Yeah, so Thor and the rabbit and Groot are all a single team now. And then, you know, eventually we get Star-Lord with Tony Stark and Iron Man. which their back and forths were just great. I mean, Chris Pratt is so funny in this. And the movie is hysterical.
Yeah.
So many funny moments.
To a point.
Well,
I guess that's what I'm saying. Like the first maybe quarter, maybe it's a long movie. I'm having a hard time splitting it up.
Yeah,
mentally.
I mean, they had laughs throughout, but that whole third act is heavy.
Yeah, it's brutal.
When it becomes clear what's going on. So, you know, they're introducing all the characters, bringing them in. The one kind of bummer for me of the movie was we didn't get much Hulk. We got a lot of Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
But Hulk didn't appear, and that was kind of one of the plot points, was that he couldn't make the big guy come out.
He's at the beginning.
Right.
He's in a big fight in the scene we're talking about with Loki and all that. He comes out and kicks some ass. But then he's kind of sulking inside Bruce the whole movie.
Yeah.
And they kind of have these little mini conversations where he's like, come on, man, come on.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious why. That's never really explained why he's in slumber almost.
Well, I mean, the Thor Ragnarok thing was he was kind of like Hulk for a really long time and didn't turn back into Bruce at all until the very end of that movie. And he was sort of made to be in these like fighting pits and he was this like, so maybe he was kind of just, maybe he wanted
taking a break.
Yeah.
Hulk take break.
Yes.
That's pretty funny. So the fun of this movie is everyone is paired with different teams. Everyone's doing their thing. Like you said, these screenwriters did an amazing job.
Unbelievable.
Sorting it all to where it didn't feel overstuffed somehow.
I don't know how. I was expecting.
No one felt shortchanged.
Oh, man, yeah.
And before we get to the end, there was another big death. And this was not a dissolve. This was a legit death and a big one when Gamora dies. Green Lady.
Yeah, that was, and it was also like the one use of flashback in the movie, which also impressed me, because with a movie that's based on 18 other fucking movies, they did not do a single, like, previously in the Marvel universe.
Right.
The only flashback they did was to Gamora as a child being rescued, quote-unquote, by the mad Titan Thanos after he literally slaughters her people and sees something in her that she's got this potential badass warrior.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, has her turn away while her people are genocided, you know.
Man, that was powerful
stuff.
It
was really powerful. And he gives her this knife and, you know, and it becomes this plot point. And their relationship is so super fleshed out.
Oh, man. Just, it's almost instantaneously that whole relationship has weight to it. And more stakes and more drama going on for Infinity War.
I know. And I just want to say, too, that I was absurdly impressed at how much I cared about Thanos, this big purple CGI guy. I mean,
he has his own character arc.
He's got his own character arc. And his as psychotic and mad as he is, you get where he's coming from on some level.
Yeah, there's complexity to that character.
Yeah.
Which is, man, they're just doing such a good job.
Yeah, especially with him being pretty, just this kind of like force that's sort of hovering above some of the other movies, but very rarely actually appears. They really did a lot with him in one movie. I thought, you know, I don't know. I'm just
very impressive. And then, of course, during the Gamora death scene is when they encounter Red Skull, who makes a nice appearance from the Captain America, the First Avenger, because he is the one who was guarding the Soul Stone.
Right.
And that, he was played, little preview coming up, Ross Marquand from The Walking Dead, he's coming on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I got a serendipitous introduction last weekend.
He played Red Skull in the Infinity Wars?
He did, because he's
Hugo Weaving.
He's a master impressionist.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they're like, well, who can we get? Because Hugo Weaving didn't want to do
it. Didn't want to do it.
And they brought in Ross. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's very cool.
That's really interesting.
So we'll talk to him about that. He's coming in the studio on next Thursday.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun one. So Gamora dies. It's very heavy. We catch up with Vision and the Scarlet Witch. I guess, where are they? In Scotland, I think? In Edinburgh, maybe?
A lot of globe hopping. I know they end up in Wakanda, though.
Well, yeah. Everything kind of culminates in Wakanda, which was genius because they had, and I think Black Panther is even still in some theaters, so they had set it up so, timed it so perfectly that everyone fell in love with Black Panther and Wakanda and the warriors in that movie. And so it's kind of cool that it culminates there for this one.
I mean, mustn't they have shot all of this stuff while they were shooting Black Panther? timing wise, like production wise?
No, because they shot, I mean, I don't think it was far off, but they shot Infinity War 1 and 2 together. So
really?
Yeah, they shot it all at once. And next, I just think like a year from now, next spring, part 2 will come out.
I did not know that. Okay. That's
interesting. Yeah, and they shot it here in Atlanta, of course. Mm-hmm. They went to other places, but my friend John worked on this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the crew is very heavily policed with their cell phones. And
oh, I'm sure.
But John could not share anything with me, basically.
Yeah, but even just being around town here, you get little inklings. Like, a lot of those downtown scenes when the shit goes down, when they're at Doctor Strange's lair and they're walking outside and I think that's when Thanos' goons kind of show up the first time. A lot of that's in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
They must have green screened the fuck out of it, because there's like, you know, two blocks of downtown Atlanta that kind of look like every city USA, like New York or Philly or something. But then I look at the extent of what's in the movie. I'm like, they Peter Jacksoned this up a little.
Yeah, most of this is done on a green screen stage, and it looks great though. They did such a good job
really
with
cool.
it. And of course, you know, people here in the office that live, we have what's called the Beltline here in Atlanta. This basically pathway that goes through the city. Like New York's High Line. Mm-hmm. And Paul here in the office is always texting me like, oh, I saw Chris Evans today. I saw Scarlett Johansson walking the Beltline.
Yep.
And it's like the Avengers are just walking around town everywhere.
Yep.
Very cool.
It is cool.
All right. So it all culminates in Wakanda. You know, we can't cover it all, obviously. We have some great interaction with Doctor Strange. And his partner, I can't remember his little buddy's name. Who was his name? I can't remember. But they have a great rapport. Well, not a great rapport. Right? It's actually sort of the opposite. But a great sort of back and forth with Tony Stark again. Not only is he sparring with Star-Lord, but he's going at it with Doctor Strange a lot. And he really shines in this movie. So it all culminates with Wakanda, the big fight, the Infinity War happens. You know, Thanos is collecting stones this whole time, and I believe, is it just one last stone there that he's trying to get?
Yeah, that's the Doctor Strange stone.
Right.
The medallion.
Yeah, there's two. There's the one in Infinity's forehead, which they're trying to extract.
That's right. The science-y Wakanda gal, whose name escapes me,
she's
operating
great
on him. She is so badass. All those characters are incredible. She's operating, and they're like, how long is it going to take? She's like, as much time as you can give me.
Right.
Like, is this, you know.
Yeah. Well, and there's that great moment, too, when Bruce Banner is, when she's like, well, why didn't you do it this way? And she out-sciences him at, like, you know, this young girl. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I guess we didn't think about that.
It never occurred to us to go at it like that.
It's a really nice moment. Yeah.
And then Banner gets a suit, right? He gets a mech suit, which sort of begs the question, why is Tony Stark not giving everyone a suit?
All the
time. Even if you have powers, wouldn't a suit just give you a leg up, you know?
Yeah, but, like, that's... That's where
it's movie stuff.
You lose your dramatic stakes if everyone's running around.
That's why Superman's kind of a boring character, because he's like, impervious.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was cool too in this was Iron Man. They used to in all the Iron Man movies kind of explain like the new tech. Like, well, now I've got this thing that can do this, and they would explain it so you when you saw how he did things, you would know what's going on. But in this one, there's clearly a big leap forward at Stark Industries, and he's just doing all sorts of crazy shit with his Iron Man suit. And none of it's explained. It's just happening. So, you know, you don't have the time in this movie to explain, like, well, now I built a suit that can do this, and it has this kind of rocket and this kind of defense. So it's just happening all over the place. And this big giant suit that, of course, Bruce Banner's in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't explain the making of that. He's just in it all.
He just pops in, yeah. But it gives him a chance to shine as Bruce because he's funny.
Yeah.
He's quippy.
Yeah, and Mark Ruffalo gets a lot of screen time in this.
He really, really does, as Mark Ruffalo. Maybe that was part of it. Where it's like, come on, guys, can I just be Mark Ruffalo for a movie? Just give me a minute.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
And it's nice to see people like Bucky Barnes showing up.
Right.
And
he was teased in the... Black Panther post-credit scene as having been hanging out in Wakanda.
Yeah.
So he's already there, and they give him, they've kind of nursed him back to health, and they give him his arm back.
Right.
And that's a cool moment.
Yeah. It's nice to see War Machine, Don Cheadle showing up again.
Oh, man.
One of my favorite characters, not nearly enough screen time. We even got Benicio del Toro as the Collector.
Yeah, he gets
in a brief scene.
He gets stomped.
And one of my favorite characters that I just hope never we never see enough of is Drax, of course.
Just the best.
Dave Bautista, so funny.
He's so funny. There's the part where he's like
trying to be still.
Yeah. And he's like eating chips, and he's like got the chip, and he's slowly bringing it towards his mouth, and
God,
then
he's
crunching
funny.
Really loudly and slowly. He's like, you can't see me. I'm making myself invisible or something. And it's just great.
Shout out to Letitia Wright as Shuri. She is the young scientist
yes,
in Wakanda.
Yes, indeed.
Want to give her due.
Very cool.
And, of course, we also get Gamora and Nebula, her sister. And that has a really nice little short dramatic arc as well.
Well, they've kind of mended fences in the two Guardians movies. Like, they were mortal enemies because they were both raised by Thanos, and Thanos pitted them against each other to supposedly make them stronger or whatever, but always kind of favored Gamora and literally transformed Nebula into this sort of, like, synthoid, humanoid kind of part robot, part human thing, and just kind of put her through the tortures of the damned.
Yeah, and in this, Thanos uses her as the bargaining chip because he knows that, you know, Gamora will want to save her now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's so much going on.
It's a lot.
We're all over the place.
I know, man. It's that kind of movie.
I've said like 8 times that we're in Wakanda and it's culminating, but we are finally in Wakanda. The big battle takes place, the war, I guess, with those... I mean, first of all the bad guys, besides Thanos, they're all badass.
Oh, yeah.
That one just sort of old floaty guy.
The creepy wizard guy.
Yeah, man. He's good. Just there's something really creepy about just standing completely erect and floating around and killing people.
It's very Hellraiser-ish, kind of. He reminds me of, like, got a kind of Clive Barker vibe to him, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I really dug that character a lot.
Yeah, so they're all super intimidating. And you think they're going to be okay because they're, you have the whole, not only do you have the citizens of Wakanda there, but the other group, I can't remember, you know, the other warriors that that Black Panther fought and eventually mended fences with in Black Panther, they come on board to help. And they're all there, and you think, all right, this is a really formidable force here. But then they start dropping from those spaceships, just like tens of thousands of those monsters.
Yeah, like little weird mutant drone creatures kind of that
are
completely expendable, just throw themselves against this barrier, literally killing themselves to get a little hole through it.
Uh-huh.
Finally, they all start pouring through.
Oh, man.
Total shit show.
Yeah, and then as if that's not enough, those big wheels, those big machines drop from the sky.
Yeah, like these thresher kind of harvesting type things. Yeah,
it's just crazy.
And then finally, the Red Witch, you know, deals with that, and someone makes the joke, where were you the whole time? Like, she's got godlike powers, too, and she's just kind of hanging
out. Why was she in here?
Yeah.
Well, she was in there guarding what's-his-face?
That's true.
Her boyfriend.
Yeah, the Vision, who's got the other stone in his head.
That's right. So this is all playing out. The big Infinity War is taking place, and we have that big, that dramatic moment where Doctor Strange gives up that last stone to save Tony Stark, and basically, I can't remember the line, but he basically is like, this is the only way forward.
Yep.
And then it starts happening right before your eyes. Everyone starts dissolve. Well, not everyone, about half, because that's what they said, like 50%.
Mm-hmm. It's like a, what do they call it? The rapture.
Yeah.
It's like a rapturing.
Exactly. Everyone, they start dissolving, and it's just, or disintegrating. And man, each one is... It's just gut punch after gut punch because it's such a brilliant trick because you'll see like 2 or 3 characters on the screen and you're thinking like, well, who are they going to kill?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to dissolve? They're not going to dissolve Black Panther. They just
surely
introduced him.
Oh,
and there he goes.
Yeah. Yeah. The Spider-Man one's intense because he apparently improvised that whole bit. Where he's like, you know, in Tony's arms, and he's like his kind of his dad figure.
I can barely talk about that still without like getting choked up.
Yeah, no, it's rough. My whole thing too was
that was hardcore.
It was rough.
Calling him sir.
I know.
Like, I don't feel good.
Yep.
I can't even go there.
Yes,
I'm like about to cry right here.
My whole thing too is it's a long movie. It's a 3-hour movie. And I was kind of thinking I was keeping track of how long was left in the movie. And then I got so swept up in that last act that I was like, there's got to be more time in the movie. And then this happens. And then it's just bop. End credits. I'm like, what? No, no way. Not a chance. No, that's how they did it.
All right. So I have a list here. This is who we lost. We lost Black Panther. And oh man, that was so hardcore because Okoye just cries out when he disintegrates. Hoping to get her on the show too because Ross Marquand could be my Walking Dead connection.
That's the end, baby.
Get her in there. That'd be great. Peter Parker, one of the toughest parts of that whole movie because he's got his mask off and it's Peter Parker.
Yeah.
He's a kid.
And that kid's got such heart and, you know, like, yeah. He's just got a great vibe. I love Tom Holland in that role.
Doctor Strange leaves us. Bucky Barnes leaves us. Falcon leaves us. Scarlet Witch leaves us. The Guardians, I think, who survives from the Guardians? Star-Lord. Oh, no, all the Guardians go. That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah. Star-Lord, Groot, Drax, and Mantis all perish.
That's right.
But there will be a Guardians 3, because yeah. James Gunn said there would be.
Yeah, and a lot of this stuff, the chronology is weird. Like, to look at all these movies in time, they don't all happen like, it's not like they're one after the other, you know, chronologically. So
you could always go back in time.
Could go back
something.
In time, yeah.
Nick Fury at the end, you know, the post-credit sequence, and Maria Hill of S.H.I.E.L.D., they both go. Here's who lives. Captain America lives. Iron Man lives. Thor lives. Black Widow lives. Hulk lives. And War Machine lives. It's almost like the original Avengers. Rocket and Nebula. Rocket, I think, is the only one who survives. Nebula lives. Okoye and M'Baku from Black Panther survive. Shuri survives. Of course, Pepper Potts is still around.
Mm-hmm. But she cares? Was in it for a second. They're like jogging together at the beginning, I think.
But so that's kind of that. Like, you know, immediately, it's just like a mausoleum walking out of that theater. Everyone is just so upset.
And it didn't even have the flashy end credits that most of the Marvel movies do.
Oh,
it was
man.
Just like black background text. It looked like a funeral program or something, you know, with even the font.
Hardcore,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
We did not get Ant-Man. I thought he was going to be in this, so he must be in the second one.
Yeah, I think. I wonder if that's a scheduling thing. He wasn't in it. Neither was Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
I think Hawkeye was in Witness Protection or something, because in the Age of Ultron movie, he like realized that he has a family that's been like hiding out in this off the grid kind of location. I think he's kicking it with them. And somebody, a friend of mine, theorized that he'll be back in the next one because maybe his family gets blipped out of existence,
shit.
So he's
God,
coming
I
back
hope
to
not.
It.
I
don't
have
know.
To sit through more of that.
Yeah. But, you know, we literally see in the movie the time stone is used to reverse time.
Well, okay, that's the deal. First of all, I looked up immediately. I was like, surely they're not dead. Because, just as a cynic, there's too much money at stake. You don't introduce Black Panther
no.
and have it be a hit like that and
no.
then kill Black Panther.
No.
But the writers are on record and they said, you might as well wrap your head around it because they all perished. But the way they worded it, it could be undone. They could, because they later could say, well, they did perish.
Yeah.
But they unperished.
No, of course. Like I said, we see the reversal of that stone being plucked from Vision.
Uh-huh.
But then it happens again.
Right. So there's two things to me. Either the time stone like you're talking about, or I just read there's a new theory going around about the soul stone. So it's different. I'm reading here from an article in Polygon, and it said the Soul Stone differs from the other five Infinity Stones in that it's actually sentient and able to manifest a will of its own. So unsurprisingly, it has a need to harvest souls, but the stone doesn't eat souls or destroy them. It transforms them, sends them to another pocket dimension called the Soul World that we actually saw with when Thanos is teleported to that strange orange-skied oasis.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that's the Soul World where he sees baby Gamora.
Oh, and baby grown-up Gamora was the sacrifice that he had to make to get the Soul Stone.
Right.
So maybe she's not entirely out of the picture yet. Maybe she's
maybe
in the
so.
Soul World in some way.
So that is the current theory.
That's
is
pretty
that
cool.
They are living in an alt-world the Soul World, and there's just no way they're going to do away with all those characters. You can't do it.
No. I mean, no, absolutely not.
It doesn't lessen the impact of seeing them dissolve.
No, does not. And Dr. Strange even says, I don't remember if he says this or if someone kind of conjectured this, that he saw all possible outcomes. I think he does say it in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And only one, only in one do they win.
Right.
So he gave that stone up knowing that that's what it took to
ultimately
set the pieces
win.
In motion.
Yeah.
Because he's always, he's like a chess guy. He's always
Right.
He can see all realities and all outcomes.
Man.
We got to stop.
What a movie.
Great. How many thumbs? What's our maximum thumbs?
Is it four thumbs?
Four thumbs.
Yeah. I'm giving this four thumbs.
Yeah.
For what it is. I mean, this is a different kind of movie. It's not The Godfather.
No.
But for superhero movies,
dude,
four thumbs.
It's a feat of writing, of pacing, of cinematography, of special effects, of like directing the ensemble. We didn't even mention the fact that those Russo brothers, their main claim to fame, they directed all of the Arrested Development.
Oh, really?
A lot of Arrested Development they directed before they got into this, which makes sense because that's like how they know how to handle a big ensemble to make everyone shine, kind of, you know?
I think that's a very good point.
Interesting. I only found that out when I was looking them up.
Super interesting. All right, so I guess that's eight thumbs between us.
It's a lot of thumbs.
You got anything else?
I got nothing else, man. We're way capped out at the time limit for these things.
All right, so Avengers: Infinity War, eight thumbs. Go see it. Look forward to hearing from you on Facebook and see what you thought about it. All right. Say goodbye, Noel.
Goodbye.